item one.
Item number one, from the Commissioner of the Department of City Development, providing a presentation on the plans for the reworked ramps and traffic patterns at the downtown lakefront. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
And we have Rocky Marcoux here this morning from the City of Milwaukee Development Commission. Maybe you can give us your full correct title.
Well, good morning. Well,
yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to talk right into that.
Yeah, pretty good acoustics in here. Well, Supervisor Jurczyk, Chairperson Jurczyk, thank you very much to you and other members of the committee for having me here this morning. My name is Rocky Marcoux, and I am the Commissioner of the Milwaukee Department of City Development.
Thank you for being here. And you're going to present a PowerPoint, I believe, so I'll let you get started with that, and then we will have a good discussion, I'm sure, with the committee.
Thank you. And I do have a PowerPoint. You might note on the front of it is, of course, our beautiful lakefront. And I think as folks are aware, the lakefront has been the subject of much discussion and debate probably since we started filling in Lake Michigan to form the lakefront. And sometimes controversial, other times more mundane. But we've always had some significant issues related to the lakefront that really go to the topography, the geography, and in some cases, the infrastructure of what was created there over a period of decades, some by the city, some by the county, some by the state, some by the federal government. So we have a real blending, if you will, of governmental action to look at what we have today. This really is a postcard shot, isn't it, of our lakefront, just quite gorgeous, showing coming from the east, looking to the west. I think it's certainly a picture that we like to project to the rest of the world because it talks about the fact that this great city we call Milwaukee, this great county of Milwaukee, this great region that we're in, the great state of Wisconsin, sits astride 20% of the world's freshwater recesses in the Great Lakes. Also of note, I think, on the bottom of the picture are the representations of the type of work and collaboration that has gone on in the plan that I'm going to present this morning. While I certainly am the presenter, it represents the work of a lot of folks through all these different entities, Milwaukee County, certainly, the city, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And in this particular case, we have two firms that have worked very closely with us during the early stages of this, Epstein UN Architects being one of them, and CH2M Hill. Both of these firms were under contract to the City of Milwaukee for work specifically related to the Lakefront Gateway Project. So with that said, we'd like to go into the map, and I think most of us realize the subject area today, but I think for a broader audience looking at this, if you look at most of these, of course, are Milwaukee County municipalities. If you look at the transportation assets that really all converge, really here at the lakefront, you have obviously the east-west freeway, I-94, the north-south freeway, 43, and of course the incredibly strong I-794 extension. And of course, Supervisor Jurczyk, as you and I have had many conversations about the importance of 794 and the Hone, particularly to the southern sections of our city of Milwaukee, but most certainly to southern sections of Milwaukee County itself. So this is really an interesting arrangement of where all of these assets actually intersect, because the first intersection is here at the Market Interchange, and then we have a subsequent intersection at the lakefront, which we'll talk about in this boxed area. This lake interchange, and it's important, we're going to be using a number of terms, and they're really not interchangeable, although I think some people view them as such. The lake interchange really is the portion of the freeway that starts right here. I'm pointing right now to the Milwaukee River. Essentially, if you're at the Milwaukee Public Market and you look up and you see all of the overpasses there, you'll see some old work and you'll see some new work. The Marquette Interchange work by WISDOT essentially ended here, its easternmost terminus, right at the Milwaukee River. The new Lake Interchange work will begin where Marquette left off. Lake Interchange, of course, continues, as we follow the cursor, generally to the approaches of the Hone Bridge. So this section right here is called the Lake Interchange. It was and represents only essentially 50% of an interchange that was never actually completed. This interchange is as dramatic as it is in terms of the geometry and the turning radii simply because it was designed to connect to a lake freeway that was never built. That freeway would have ran somewhere along the lines of where Lincoln Memorial Drive currently runs today. That would have then connected a little further here to the Park East Freeway and then eventually to the Park West Freeway. And I think Supervisor Mayo and others, Supervisor Johnson as well, intimately familiar with some of the land challenges we've had on the Park West Freeway. And, of course, all of us have been involved on our watch with the Park East Freeway. The Blues Brothers movie, as many of you probably have seen, if you look carefully sometime, all of those stub ends, that portion of the freeway where the vehicle falls to the ground, if you look quickly, you'll see the U.S. Bank Tower in the background. Also, those stub ends, which were subsequently removed, give you an idea of the connections that didn't occur when when that freeway was not built. Of course, I'm not here to talk about freeways that weren't built, but by way of explanation, that's why you have this infrastructure right here. And, of course, it is essentially now overbuilt for what you do have. So you have the Central Business District that is this portion here. This is the Milwaukee River. This is the convergence here, right at this point of the Milwaukee River and the Menominee. So this is the Menominee moving to the west. This is the Menominee Canal. This area is the Harley-Davidson Museum. This, of course, is the historic Third Ward. This would be the Walker's Point area. Rockwell is down here. And, of course, you're familiar with all of the lakefront assets as well. Let's zero in a little bit on this particular area, and we'll get a view of how the traffic actually functions right now if you're coming to the lakefront or from the lakefront. This is Lincoln Memorial Drive. And, of course, as you know, Lincoln Memorial Drive serves a large portion of the east side of Milwaukee on its transit to downtown, as well as significant numbers of folks, citizens that are traveling from our north suburbs. Of course, their transit ends essentially right here at Michigan, or depending on whether or not they're going to get on 794 or either 794 or the Home Bridge. But they have limited access to get into the downtown or to the Third Ward from here. Essentially, they have to hang a right at Michigan Street, and this picture would be to the left, but it would be a right if they were heading southbound. I-794, this is the westbound on-ramp as it's currently configured. You see the figure. I apologize, I'm colorblind. I believe this is blue or a version of blue. And then below it is the east off-ramp. So if you're coming from the west heading east, this is where you would get off at Lincoln Memorial Drive. This is a very awkward intersection, as you know. There is a significant queuing that occurs here because of the interplay of Lincoln Memorial Drive, the Hone on and Hone off ramps. This is the county-owned transit facility, which we'll discuss a little bit later, and of course O'Donnell Park is here. This is the U.S. Bank. That's the smaller building that sits to the east of U.S. Bank. This is the U.S. Bank, the new parking deck. This is the Galleria, and this, of course, if you look at it carefully, you see the shadow line here. This is the U.S. Bank Tower. And if we zoom in, or not zoom in, but look at it from a different perspective, if we were coming from the lake, as many of the patrons that come to the Art Museum or the War Memorial, Discovery World, Summerfest, so on and so forth, if you look at how you get here to all of these wonderful amenities that are at the lake, you're coming from the west, you come here. If you're going to the west from the east, you come here. It is not the most graceful entrance or exit point to what are world-class buildings. This, of course, is the Calatrava addition to the Milwaukee Art Museum at the War Memorial. It is a splendid and just absolutely beautiful representation of the majesty of great architecture, executed well by great construction firms, I might add. This was built by local firms. Matter of fact, the on-the-ground design was done by Kaler Slater and Grafe Anhold Schlamer, which is now Grafe, and 100 other contractors or subcontractors. And Milwaukee benefits from having some of the best skilled craftspeople in the world, including in the creative classes of architecture and engineering. Santiago Calatrava's first United States commission, and we're very proud of it. Where else can you go and see a building that literally has wings that open and close twice a day and have done since the building was opened? So it's quite impressive. This, of course, an equally impressive building, a building that I know the county is working hard on right now in terms of preserving its legacy. And I think all of us know that this was designed by Earl Saarinen, the person who had the commission for the St. Louis Arch, amongst hundreds of others worldwide. So it is incredible that here at our lakefront, we have two world-class designers in two beautiful world-class buildings that essentially are part and parcel of the same building. Wonderful. Another wonderful architectural gem. Is the Discovery World building. And of course, we know that Michael Cudahy, who has played such a strong role in this city and has played a very strong role in the formation of this plan as well, this was a great gift. At least a significant amount of the money for this came from Mr. Cudahy. It's a Jim Shields design from HGA Architects, and it too graces our lakefront Henry Meyer Festival grounds. A lot of cities, a lot of counties, a lot of states in the United States had Nike missile sites at one point. This is what this was. Most of us, or I think all of us in the room at least, know this. The general citizenry probably doesn't or isn't aware of that because they know it as Henry Meyer Festival Park. But when you look at the fact that over probably about a million folks from during Summerfest and probably another 500,000 on either end on our great ethnic festivals or other interesting lakefront activities that take place here, this has really been a labor of love by the community over a 40-year period. And in addition to the Summerfest grounds, which is 75 acres of land, this beautiful Lakeshore State Park was the result, as you know, of the Deep Tunnel Project. This was excavated limestone that was placed there. We're very happy to have a state park here now and this beautiful bridge that connects the two. It is also the eastern terminus of the Hank Aaron State Trail. We're very proud of that. The Hank Aaron State Trail begins here, and then you can take it through portions of the Third Ward. Later this summer, the city will begin work on the Reed Street Yards, and we will be able to take the Hank Aaron State Trail from the southern terminus into and through the Reed Street Yards off of the 6th Street Bridge by both a ramp on one side for accessibility and stairs on the other, bring it into the valley, and then have it join up where it currently exists along Canal Street. And as you know, we included the Hank Aaron State Trail during the construction of Canal Street. It now goes west through the VA grounds. You may recall the old the train lines that ran next to the Ward Theater. Those have been paved over under the Rails to Trails program, and this further goes across Holly Road now, with an overhead bridge. And eventually this is going to go, this 14 miles today, it'll eventually go further into Waukesha County after the zoo interchange work is completed. And that's obviously the county is involved in that portion of it. So this is very exciting to be able to have these types of linkages. And it's about certainly cultural amenities being linked, but these transportation assets are very important. In the Hank Aaron State Trails case, you have folks that certainly use it to walk and to hike and to jog, but you have also a large number of folks that use it for bicycling. People are commuting. If you look at Canal Street in the morning, you will see large numbers of folks now commuting into the downtown on the Hank Aaron State Trail. What we lack, certainly, is enough at-grade access from the Third Ward areas and our South Side neighborhoods to the south of the Hone for pedestrian access as well as bicycle access. I want to talk about that a little bit later in the presentation. And if we turn now looking west, of course, the U.S. Bank Tower, currently the largest, tallest building in the state of Wisconsin, I believe also the largest under a single-roof, single-tenant building. It's about 1 million square feet. This is a 1972-1973 Skidmore Owens Merrill Commission, another grand building in the modernist style. In front of it is 875 East Wisconsin. This is a building that the city helped to move forward. It is the headquarters of Artisan Partners as well as Roundy's. And you may recall Roundy's moved in from the suburbs to downtown, and Bob Mariano's offices are in here. In front of that, of course, is one of the O'Donnell Park features and the Betty Brim Museum, and as well as the restaurant and some very beautiful public space. To the right on the slide is the grand and beautiful West Wisconsin, or East Wisconsin Avenue, headquarters of Northwestern Mutual, and of course the two Northwestern Mutual buildings that are also on that campus further to the north or to the right on that slide. All right, let's take a look now. I think we're pretty well situated with the beauty that we have at the lakefront. The problem we have is, and I spoke to it in my opening sentences, is that we've never had a coherent transportation plan that gets us elegantly and effectively and efficiently, both from a pedestrian scale, a bicycling scale, or a vehicular scale, and hopefully at some point a major mass transit scale, both in bus and in streetcar. We have been unable to put that together, and it's largely because of the geographic reality of a geological reality of the geography itself, the topography, about 20 to 30 feet difference between West Wisconsin Avenue and the lakefront. As you know, most of the lakefront is filled like that. Starting in we just celebrated in February, as a matter of fact, the 1913 agreement between the city of Milwaukee and the Chicago and Northwest Railroad, where the city bought the riparian rights from the railroad in return for allowing the railroad then to construct essentially a retaining wall to ensure that its trackage would be intact. The city was then able to negotiate with the state of Wisconsin through several land grants to fill in this portion of the lake, portions of it for the harbor, portions of it for our municipal pier. And then subsequently, when Milwaukee County took over the park system, those lands were deeded, or many of those lands were deeded to the county in recognition of that 1913 agreement. That's a very significant agreement. The reason I bring it up before your committee today is because of the role that it plays in the transit center site. And while you may have questions on that later, and I could certainly address them, our position, at least on that, is from our own history. And our history at the city was we were the first ones to move forward on the purchasing of the riparian rights and then getting the state legislature in 1913 to allow us to start filling in this lake bed. So we have a lot of history here, and we certainly stand ready to help in any way we can the county, and as you move forward in not only your negotiations, certainly, with some of the interested parties that have differences of opinion on where that particular line may be, but we also have significant past history on that from the legislature. So I think we'll make a good team on that. The existing on and off ramps are, at best, not very functional. They get traffic in and out, but there's also a lot of folks that really would like a better way to get into the Third Ward. Right now, the Third Ward entrance is off of the Jackson-Van Buren off ramps. Very, very convoluted. And I like to say that I think many of us that are students of history or going back to our social studies in grade school, you know, everybody was looking for the Northwest Passage, right? That was drove a lot of European exploration, finding a shorter water route to the Far East, right, to the Orient, instead of having to go around the southernmost portions of Africa. And, of course, that that led to a lot of discoveries, but it certainly didn't lead to a water route to the Far East. But I kind of view this in some respects as similarly situated. We've tried to find a better land route into the Third Ward, and we've never been successful at that until now. So we're pretty excited about that as well, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So if you're coming westbound, I digress. If we're coming west or eastbound, you get off at Van Buren, Jackson, and then you can get into the downtown. If you're further going all the way to the lakefront, then you would proceed to Lincoln Memorial Drive. If we look at what are the existing challenges with this infrastructure, part of it is the fact that if you look at where the letter A is in here, the Lincoln, and this is Lincoln Memorial Drive, of course, a county asset, and it essentially ends right here. It doesn't exactly end at Michigan, but for the purposes of the diagram, it makes it a little clearer. It really ends right here at the Hone approaches. So picture Lincoln Memorial Drive as you're driving. If you're driving southbound, your options are limited. You can take a hard right onto Clybourne. And generally speaking, the only folks that use this would be the Milwaukee County Transit System drivers that are accessing the transit center site. And some of the parkers, folks at using the new, for that matter, the old as well, parking structure at U.S. Bank. I would venture, though, that probably 30% of the right turns onto Clybourne are done in error. Okay, people are actually thinking they're getting on the freeway, and they, by mistake, get onto Clybourne. So, you know, you have what could be a very significant intersection, and it's really an afterthought. So A is Lincoln Memorial Drive really not extending where it needs to. B, we talked about this before, these ramps don't function that well. Certainly they get people on and off, so they, their main function is met, but they don't necessarily function as well as they could. And then eastbound Clybourne doesn't even meet Lincoln Memorial Drive. Essentially, you can't go eastbound except to this point. You can go eastbound only to the U.S. Bank parking garage, and then it's a one-way. So this doesn't work on a number of fronts. I want to talk a little bit about the city's downtown plan and then the county's lakefront task force, because they work, they both come into play into the discussion here. The city's downtown plan revision was passed by the Common Council in 2010. It's actually a revision of the 1999 plan. And within all of the city plans, I know those, well, many of you represents either wholly City of Milwaukee districts or partially, or certainly are familiar with some of the city planning activities. We're very pleased with the fact that for the first time in the city's history, and the city was incorporated in 1836, 2 years before Wisconsin received its statehood, that we actually have a land use plan for all 98 square miles of the city of Milwaukee. It's amazing that we had never had a plan up until recently that covered all 98 square miles. Plenty of downtown plans. There were, you know, plans for specific smaller areas. But we launched this process in 2004, and we essentially completed it in 2010 with this plan revision. We're very excited about that. But one of the things that we put in all of those 13 area plans are what we call catalytic projects. And those projects are chosen by the stakeholders and represent a significant opportunity for moving a project forward. Sometimes it's a place-based project. Sometimes it is more of a generic, let's get more of a certain use in the area. But those are all listed, and of course, it's all on our website as well. One of the catalytic projects that has really been up until now unable to be achieved, one that certainly was listed in the 2010, but also was listed in prior downtown projects, was how do we get the activity, the body heat, if you will, the number of human beings that are interacting every day on Wisconsin Avenue, very busy intersection, it's our main street, Wisconsin Avenue, how do we get them more engaged to the lakefront? And we have, as I said, pointed out, we'll see some pictures in a little bit about that problem with the geography in terms of the location of the old edge of Lake Michigan being 20 or 30 feet higher. We believe, and folks that have worked on this for decades have always felt, that if there were a way for us to connect the Central Business District and the vibrancy of the Central Business District to the lakefront, that would be really icing on the cake, and in a real way, kind of finish the plan. Right? You've got all these beautiful buildings, you have this incredibly successful business district, and the Third Ward, and this lake, yet the infrastructure does not knit it together very well. So in the 2010 downtown plan revision, one of those projects was, in fact, how could we come together around this particular area, the intersection of Michigan and Lincoln Memorial Drive, which we felt had many opportunities because it's an great access into the city that is not well utilized today. Most of these buildings have parking lots that face onto Michigan. It's not the most attractive piece, and it's a nightmare if you're a pedestrian trying to cross it, as you're probably aware. So we kind of put in a caricature, and I'll call it a caricature because it essentially covered this area where I'm circling the arrow. And what that area denoted was where we felt there was a potential to bridge those elevations. We could not agree in the downtown plan process because at that point we had not concluded our negotiations, our lease extension on lands that we have. Obviously, most of the museum is on county land, but there are lands here that the city has, and there are lands here. And so instead of trying to come up with a solution that we couldn't get consensus around, we simply said we need a stakeholder plan at some point, the stakeholders to come together and really kind of drive down on the detail of this. As it turns out, the tragedy at O'Donnell presented itself. The county showed great leadership, I think, in bringing together that lakefront tanning plat task force. I know Supervisor Jurcik, you were a mover and shaker on that in terms of long-term planning for the county, along as well as others. And I know that certainly the exec was supportive of moving forward a planning process. I know that we looked at it as an opportunity to figure out perhaps how we could get to a point where we'd have some consensus on from the lakefront stakeholders. So we were a participant, and we're actually thankful that we were included, and we appreciate that. And we had a seat at the table, a couple of seats at the table. And those were great discussions. And they went on to conclude that, amongst other things, the first item, if you recall, which none of us were successful on, was to get a dedicated bike ramp across the Hone, which would have talked to what we spoke about earlier in terms of getting better access. Then I think the balance of the report really centered around how we could effectively bridge the downtown areas, the Third Ward, and the lakefront assets. And the plan that was proposed was essentially to eliminate these two ramps. So these two ramps that we've been talking about frequently here would be eliminated. And in their place, a new boulevard, Clybourne, would be put in on the footprint of the current Clybourne, but much wider, much grander, akin to, like, say, Kilbourne or Highland, or you know, you're familiar with a number of our beautiful boulevard areas. So that was where the county task force left off. Essentially, all the traffic would come off of the freeway and exit at Jackson and Van Buren. The thought process was we would be able to carry that traffic both on an on- and off-ramp scenario onto the city street, which would be Clybourne. At that point, and I think there were a number of folks obviously involved in those conversations, Mr. Cudahy being one of the primary folks that kept at this, WISDOT, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, looked at it and concluded after some money was put in, the city put money in and the state put money in to look at what came out of that county task force to see whether it was viable. So we both spent some money and we used the state's consultant. The state's consultant concluded that the off-ramp and on-ramp scenario, as was outlined in the county's task force, would not be viable. The reason being that it would, in effect, back up traffic onto the freeway system. And it would do that because if we have all the traffic exit at this point at the Jackson and Van Buren off-ramps, in order to execute both a right turn, now I'm looking, you're parked in your car, you're coming eastbound, so you're looking at the lake. We would want certainly a right turn onto or into the historic Third Ward. We'd want a partial right onto Clybourne. Then we'd want the hard left that currently exists into the Central Business District. The problem with cycling that many turns of the intersection with traffic signaling would mean that the queuing, or what they call the queuing, people waiting in their cars until the light turned, that would queue folks back up onto the freeway system, which was unacceptable to WISDOT, unacceptable to the federal government, who runs the ultimately has the responsibility for running the interstate system. And of course, it wouldn't be acceptable to the county or the city either. We don't want to create problems. So at that point, the decision was, while we looked at it, can't get there from here, let's move on. We took a little bit of a different view on that. Mr. Cudahy, of course, didn't put the ball down, but the state had already spent a significant amount of money looking at this. WISDOT, who I should say, probably should have led with, has been incredibly collaborative and cooperative on this entire endeavor. They really, really have, from all the way up to from Secretary Gottlieb through his staff, John Fandrich in real estate, the folks, Dwayne Johnson, Brian Bleisner, all the folks, some of whom's names you know because they work on a lot of the county-related work. They've really been true partners on this. But I think they had reached a point where as you know, the Hone work is going to bid this fall, as well as the Lake Interchange, these major repairs. So they had reached a point where they said, all right, we've looked at this. We've actually spent a little money to look at this as well, as had the city. We don't believe it can work. And we need to get on with the work ahead of us, which is to make sure that these contracts are let on time and that the work is done. From our perspective, we took a look at that same set of dynamics and said, well, but if we don't do this now, we won't be able to do this for another 25 years. Because by the time the state would reinvest in the Lake Interchange and the Hone to make the repairs that they're going to make, huge amount of money is going to be expended, taxpayer money there. Essentially, and this I'm not quoting WISDOT, this is Rocky's interpretation, but I believe you have a 25-year lifespan left in that infrastructure before they'd have to tear it down and basically rebuild it like they did the Marquette. Well, let's face it, 25 years is a generation. So this is a generational opportunity that we would be losing to impact the downtown, the Third Ward, the Central Business District, and by virtue of the map that I showed very early in the presentation, the entire region, because the lakefront belongs to everyone. It is one of our most significant regional assets. It's one of our most significant state assets. And it truly is accessible, largely to the work that has gone on over the years, initially by the city and now by the county, to make sure that this is preserved as the public parkland and a place for these incredible assets. All right. So the city spent, the WISDOT basically said it doesn't look like it can work based on what we have put together, based on the plan that you put in front of us. So we asked for some additional time to work on this. And the exec was willing to move forward. We had Brian Tafora at the time working with us. We had folks like Brian Durancic. We also had folks from Milwaukee County Transit System with us in a number of the discussions. Of course, our entire Department of Public Works, Jeff Polensky, who is a city engineer and is actually the city lead on the infrastructure piece of this, and of course Ghassan Karban, our DPW commissioner. I had about 5 staff people from the Department of City Development. It was that important. The mayor thought we should just put all hands on deck and see if we can figure this thing out. We spent another good sum of money, and this was solely city money at this point. I was convinced that we could be able to find, or should be able to find, a way to make this work by using the city grid. We looked at 25 different versions of how you could exit at Jackson and Van Buren and try and use the city grid. None of them worked. So we came to the conclusion, which was neither in our downtown plan or the county's task force, but because of the work that we all committed to keep going to try and find an answer to this, we came to the conclusion that the only way to do this was, in fact, yes, remove those ramps, but then rebuild them at a different location, because it was the only way we could eliminate the queuing. And I might add, this was a number of months that it took us to get to this conclusion, and a lot of money, but it was well worth the time and money invested. So let's center now on that conclusion. These are the two ramps in question. We're going to do a little bit of overhead on that. You can see this is the on-ramp. This is the off-ramp. Then this is what lies underneath. All very interesting. All right. So there's the two ramps, the idea being let's move them this way, move them towards, and it seems counterintuitive that we would move them into all of these areas where the Hone approaches are, because that's all elevated, it all is significant infrastructure, and keep in mind, you can't move that infrastructure. That would be millions and millions of dollars just to move a single one of these, because you'd have to take apart a portion of the existing rampage for the Hone. That wasn't in the plan. But we had to find a way to weave these ramps in. So once again, here's these ramps, moving them this way and moving them to their final home. They disappear. That's why we kind of did the gradual thing, because they are actually nested, kind of like a marsupial nests its young, all right? They are nested underneath the Hone, creating a space right here, which we'll talk about later, giving us wonderful new opportunities, one of which, of course, is the Clybourne Boulevard. That now would be a full city boulevard that would extend to Lincoln Memorial Drive. It currently only goes, as you know, you can only head westbound on it from Lincoln right now. You'd get both lanes coming to this. Then we cross Lincoln Memorial Drive, come over to Discovery World, and then loop around back here through Michigan. And then Michigan shown highlighted here along with Cass, because these are portions of Michigan and Cass that we intend to rebuild or resurface as part of this project. We also want to put some significant streetscaping along Michigan Avenue or Michigan Street, similar to what's been done in East Wisconsin. This is the county asset of Lincoln Memorial Drive. It normally would end right where the A is. Now, it would simply weave through the on and off ramps for the home and go underneath to this location where it picks up the freeway ramps and then also Chicago. We're going to zoom in now a little further on that because that gets a little tight. Here's the zoomed in version. This is the freed up land. So these are the freeway ramps that were over here. This is Clybourne as it currently exists. So this is not the boulevard. This is what it currently exists. This is the County Transit Center. This is the U.S. Bank parking deck. This is the smaller U.S. Bank building to the east. Currently, under the current condition and under the new condition, nothing changes with the home. The current on-ramp to the home from Lincoln Memorial Drive, if you're heading southbound, is as it currently stands. And the current off-bound ramp from the home remains as it currently stands. So you basically, that doesn't change. What changes is, and picture this, the next time you're at the Hone approaches, you see that area, the grassy knoll, if you will, in between. That gets eliminated. Lincoln Memorial Drive goes through those, right through the center of that. And that's what's depicted right here. And this is the first intersection. This shows it going past the first intersection, which is with the two new freeway ramps. And then, of course, extending further into the third ward, where it connects to a new intersection of Chicago Street and Lincoln Memorial Drive. This is the traffic flow. Essentially, if you are used to coming down the freeway ramp to Lincoln Memorial Drive from the west, so you're heading east, you would normally you'd come to this point right here following that arrow. Now you simply would go the equivalent of maybe three-quarters of a city block to the south, and you would come to this intersection here. Likewise, if you're leaving, you would go the same way. So what all we've done is essentially taken the ramps that were here and moved them to here with great care, with great, there's a lot of geography and geometry challenges here, but we were able to reach this point. Now, there's the new Clybourne Boulevard shown. This, of course, a little bit more green in that intersection. At this point, it's probably a good idea to point out some of the collaboration that had to occur in this area. A lot of this, of course, is county-owned land underneath the freeway. Some of it is City of Milwaukee land that is leased to World Festivals Incorporated through the Port of Milwaukee. And we needed to figure out, all right, it's one thing to just move, say we're going to move the ramps and figure out how they fit underneath the highways. But how does it work here? Because this is where the county bus system loads and offloads, I believe the figure I was given is 600,000 during Summerfest, which is extraordinary. I mean, just extraordinary. So I think a big shout out to Don Smiley and Summerfest and their staff of very talented folks. We sat down with them in the room. Wistad in the room. Brian Tafora, Brian Durancic was in the room. We had also the Milwaukee County Transit System in the room, and we figured out at a staff level, how do we make all this work? I mean, can it be done? And so the compromise, compromise is the wrong term, the solution, because it was a solution, it wasn't a compromise, it was a solution, involved Summerfest having to make some changes in terms of how it got people in and out, but we were able to accommodate that within this footprint, as well as accommodate Milwaukee County Transit System's need to be able to queue and successfully queue in this area as they have traditionally. So those were lengthy meetings, and our Department of Public Works, obviously at the table, Department of City Development, they were very productive meetings. The port was there as well. And the reason we did not, if someone has the question, well, why didn't we have the other folks at the table from this portion of the lakefront? Well, at that point, it didn't matter because, it matters to them that we find a solution, but the solution had to be found with the Summerfest group and the county at this portion of it, because if it couldn't work here, it wouldn't much matter. That was the only place we could put these ramps. So we have certainly brought the other stakeholders in after we had resolved this underlying issue. So we're pretty excited about that. That was kind of one of those eureka days. I slept well that night because we had spent a significant amount of city money on looking at this. And we were, up until the end, faced with the probability of having to justify spending that money on a solution that wasn't there. But this was the solution. This was a Northwest Passage. And it, in effect, gave us more than what we had all bargained for. The downtown plan wanted better connections. The county task force wanted to eliminate the ramps and also get the better connections. In the end, by all of us working together, we accomplished even more than that. We got a brand new way into the third ward, okay, which I'll show you the significance of that in a moment. All right, this is the old plan. All right, so just for purposes of, I want to talk about the pedestrian now, because the pedestrian has been a real issue here in terms of lack of access. So this is the existing challenges. You're familiar with the map. We've used it before. Let's zone in or zoom in on this piece. When you leave Wisconsin Avenue, you have a number of opportunities to leave Wisconsin. You can go to O'Donnell and then eventually over to the transit center. You can go to the edge of O'Donnell here, here, here. You only have one opportunity to cross Lincoln Memorial Drive, this portion, and that is at the Calatrava. There's a second ability to get across at the War Memorial, a little more limited. You have to get on Kilbourne, essentially. You cross at that intersection and... Yes, I'm sorry, Mason Supervisor. And that is somewhat impeded by the condition of the steps, but that's going to be rectified shortly, which is, I think, good news all the way around. But essentially, you're in a box canyon. You get here, and it's like, you can see where you want to go. They're telling the kids, hey, that's where we're going. Just not quite sure how we're getting there, okay? And so... how do you deal with it? This gives a better depiction of it because it's the real picture, right, rather than a graph. These indicate staircases, right? So those will work if you're ambulatory, if you can use the stairs. They don't work if you've got a stroller, or they don't work well if you have a stroller, and they certainly don't work at all if you use a wheelchair or some other device that assists you for mobility. We also know that because Lincoln Memorial Drive does carry a significant amount of traffic, it has a high volume, and almost you get to this point, I think, folks, once they clear that intersection just underneath the Mason Street Bridge, people start thinking on this as one big on-ramp. It's like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. It's almost like, how quickly can I get on the Hone or to the freeway? And that obviously causes some issues for the people at the intersection here, which is where almost all of our at-grade traffic is bottlenecked. Even if you get off at these points, you still have to cross Lincoln Memorial Drive. And that's a daunting task. This is it. Imagine this at Summerfest, and aside from it, looks terrible in here. This should be a picture postcard similar to what I led with in terms of that aerial shot. And instead of this being one of the best views in the city, it looks like the loading dock of the city. I mean, it's not good at all. Not sure what's going on here. I think they're leading. They're partially into that intersection. I think they're thinking the folks over here are going to, like, all right, we'll let them cross because they must have a child in there or something. Not sure if that's what's at work, but it's just a cacophony here. You see the queuing now from folks coming off the Hone Bridge. And this is just a very difficult intersection. This is the transit center site. There's a staircase right here by the Do Not Enter sign. This is a good example of the issues you have trying to bring strollers or anything else up and down. So how do you improve all of this? Well, what we are suggesting is two bridges. One would be a replacement bridge right here where the arrow is that goes between, you already have, the county owns and operates a bridge that goes from Lincoln Memorial, it goes from the O'Donnell Park to the transit center site. We would suggest replacing that with a new bridge, and we'll talk reasons for that a little bit later, and then a brand new bridge that currently doesn't exist that would go from the transit center site over to a new space that's created here by the elimination of we don't have to bring Harbor Drive through here now because Harbor connects with Clybourne and creates a loop here with Michigan. That would solve the issue of getting this huge number of pedestrians across the street. We'll go to that area of emphasis, and this is kind of what it looks like. Picture your Brady Street Bridge, but on a grander scale, in terms of getting over Lincoln Memorial Drive, I think not far from, on the lakefront. You have a pedestrian bridge.
Right.
This pedestrian bridge would be bigger, and it would be able to accommodate bicycles as well as bicycle. And this is kind of the Northwest Passage piece, right? We can now get folks from this area, whether it's the Summerfest grounds, the museum grounds, the trails along the lake, the Hank Aaron State Trail, the Third Ward, and eventually, I think we want to work on a solution that gets them somehow across the river, okay, so that we can reach the near south side areas. But this is the pivot piece right here. Without this link, you can't make the rest of it work. So this is a significant piece of infrastructure that would go across Lincoln Memorial Drive. So this is Lincoln Memorial Drive, and then this is Michigan. This is over here, off the picture, is once again O'Donnell, and this is the transit center site. All right, so that's the infrastructure. New Clybourne Boulevard, looping to Discovery World, coming back on Michigan being redone to some point just east or west, rather, of the U.S. Bank Galleria space, a new bridge from O'Donnell crossing Michigan onto the transit center site development proposed, coming out of the proposed development at the transit center site, across Lincoln Memorial Drive onto a new public space that's created here, then Lincoln Memorial Drive extending through the Third Ward, connecting with the very significant assets that are in the ward. Now, let's talk about what this does for development. We talked about what it does in terms of knitting back the fabric of the lakefront, the Third Ward, the Central Business District, and the balance of the city and county by virtue of doing all of this into the tapestry that it really should be. What's it do for tax base? Because at the end of the day, this is not going to be an insignificant engagement of taxpayer dollars. The city-county portion of this, we estimated $18 million for all of the work associated with the plan that I just laid out. The State Department of Transportation costs in removing the existing ramps and replacing them with the new ramps, as I've outlined, is $16 million. And so $34 million is not an insignificant figure, but it does some incredible things. First and foremost, we are, as you know, collectively engaged with Northwestern Mutual Life on what is probably the most exciting real estate development that's occurred in this city since the U.S. Bank Tower was built, and that goes back to the early 1970s. The U.S. Bank building is right here. This is the Northwestern Mutual site. I want to caution folks, this is not what the building looks like, nor does it represent the height of the building. It's simply a placeholder for a significant building. The headquarters building, as you know, is right here where the arrow is, and then the other Northwestern Mutual Life building is right here. The building in blue, and I believe this is blue, is sitting on the footprint of the building that will be torn down by Northwestern Mutual. And I think, as you're aware, because you're having... Excuse me?
Is that the one on Wisconsin that's tearing down?
Yes, it's basically fronts a portion of Wisconsin. The one that has the fountain in front of it? Yeah. Supervisor Vail, that's exactly my reaction because I love fountains. I love fountains. That's my weakness, water. I suppose, as my wife, I have a lot of weaknesses. But fountains. So I'm hoping there's going to be a new water feature, but I digress. They are going to take that building down and then put the new building somewhere on that footprint. It's going to be, we know, an extraordinary building. The company has committed to great architecture. We know that it's at least 840,000 square feet because that's what's been publicly discussed. We know that collectively our actions will bring forward the retention of the 1,100 jobs that are currently in that particular building as part of a 3,200 strong workforce in the downtown, but it will also add 1,700 jobs over the next 15 or so years. So we're very excited about that. So that building, of course, helps us to look at how we pay for some of this infrastructure by using a portion of the TID that will be generated for this building. The next opportunity is this building, something that the county is involved with. And this is, I'm showing the picture that has been used in the paper. This is the Rick Barrett, no relation to Tom Barrett. The I say that all the time just so folks, it's not, no relation. Rick Barrett, of course, as you know, has been very successful in his development of the Modern in the Park East, and we're very pleased with the results of that. We're hopeful. I know the county is negotiating on this now, and we're hopeful that this building can come out of the ground. So I certainly encourage you, and I know that Julie Esch and folks on the exec staff are working very hard on this in the administration. I know that Tiguali Smith's in the audience today, and I know he's an appointee, not yet confirmed, but as a sidebar, I have a good working relationship, or I would characterize it as a very good working relationship with Teague through his many community efforts in the past, and I know obviously he's going to be involved with this. So we're hopeful that the county will be able to come to a conclusion on this so that this building can come out of the ground. We're pretty excited about it. I know you are as well, and I think the community will be. At least everything that I've seen in the publicly released drawings are quite extraordinary. Let's look at the building that would potentially come out of the ground right next to it. And this is Mark Ergen's proposed building. This is called 833 Michigan. It's about 350,000 square feet of office space. And we are working with Mark Ergens and his partners right now on this building. We're hopeful that this also can be built and come out of the ground. That would face on Michigan. Also, there was some discussion at the time about the relationship of Mark's building and the proposed building at the Transit Center site, the Couture. And I think what we did is immediately got in the room with, and I say we, being the city and the county, represented by our respective administrations. We had folks, Brian Tafora, sat in the room with myself and the two developers, and we worked out, and their architects, and we worked out a scenario where both of these buildings could come up and not essentially be in the way of each other. And that's been a real success. And I want to congratulate Mark Ergens and his team, and I want to congratulate Rick Barrett and his team. Ergens, Mark's architect is Kaylor Slater, and for this particular building, and Matt Rinka is the architect for the Barrett team. And that was real collaboration by getting two developers in a room, both with very exciting projects, both equally concerned how their project might be impacted by the other project. And we did what we should do as adults, right? We got in a room and worked it out. And as it turned out, Rick moved the location of his building slightly, and Mark moved the location of his building slightly. And they both have talked about, now granted, both are proposed buildings right now. We are working with Mark on how he might be able to get his building out of the ground. The county, of course, is working with Rick. But assuming that we can collectively get both of these buildings out of the ground, the conversation between these two gentlemen and their teams is extraordinary in terms of how they can collaborate, how they can use opportunities that are created by the shared wall space, the public space. So it's all very exciting, and it's really, as I said, very collaborative. Now we look to the next grouping of buildings here in the Third Ward. This is another incredibly exciting opportunity. When you talk about looking at opening up a land link, a new land link into the Third Ward, what we've done collectively, once we finish this project, we'll have accomplished a brand new on-off ramp or interchange, if you will, in the Third Ward itself. That's by moving the ramps further to the south. Also, by extending Lincoln Memorial Drive on a southerly fashion to connect it to Chicago Street, we have now made all of that area in the third ward that currently is what we say not highest and best use. Some of it is parking, some of it is older building footprint that the owners are looking for the right opportunity either to tear it down or in some cases adaptively reuse. So all the blue buildings represent footprint that is either parking lot or not highest and best use as current buildings that could be, and it's very dramatic when you look at the amount of space there, that could be transformed into new development simply because we now have the adequate infrastructure to access them. Keep in mind that that Lincoln Memorial Drive, as I talked about earlier, it's not just, you know, certainly a big conduit point for east side neighborhoods in Milwaukee, but North Shore neighborhoods really use Lincoln Memorial Drive. Now they can get directly into the third ward while going and staying on the lake the whole time. And, of course, the interstate access by virtue of the new interchange is significant. So this is 22 acres of land. Now, 22 acres in an urban environment is like, oh, my God, we just hit the lottery. And so we're very, very excited about that. And we show these buildings essentially as opportunities that are in the 4 to 5 story range because that's what's reflected in the third ward plan. The third ward plan is one of those area plans I spoke to earlier. And I should interject at this point as well as the third ward showed great leadership when they put their plan together. It's a city plan, but as I said, we look to the stakeholders on the ground to guide these plans. They talked about a number of years ago having this land link in there. And once again, it wasn't fully defined, like it wasn't fully defined in all of these plans, but it was hinted at. How do you get there? You know, can you get there from here? So we're pretty excited about that. And then one piece that I know I keep saying I'm excited, but this whole thing is exciting. If you look at this particular building, this building now sits on the land that was vacated by those two ramps being removed. And it's just a placeholder. This is not what that building necessarily looks like, but we wanted to put a building there that people could get the type of scale that it could be. And we believe that given the 3 acres that exists there, and the county owns, the county and the state would be the owners of this land, similar to the footprints you have in the Park East and elsewhere. These 3 acres, we believe, could yield probably about 750,000 to 1 million square feet. Now, once again, U.S. Bank building is 1 million square feet, right? Northwestern Mutual proposing 840,000 square feet. You've got probably another, you could easily get another 1.5 million square feet out of all of those buildings in the third ward. And, of course, a lot of those would be mixed use. They won't all be office. A lot of them would be residential and retail. If you look at the whole plan, I mean, oh, my God. I mean, this talk about a generational opportunity. There's NML. There's Mark Ergen's project, Rick Barrett's proposed project on the County Transit Center site, the building I just spoke about here, all the third ward opportunities. The building that's here that's still in white is the Italian Conference Center, Italian Community Center property. And, of course, as you know, they have many of the holdings around their property that could be developed. The reason this is all now developable is because we extend Lincoln Memorial Drive to a new intersection with Chicago. And then, as well, you have the, as I spoke to earlier, the freeway ramps. So the opportunity, I think, is extraordinary here. I really think it speaks to intensive collaboration. I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Mayor Barrett was really not only keen on getting a solution to this, but also was willing to pledge publicly before we had agreement to pledge publicly that the city would front the money on the $18 million so that we could have a discussion with WISDOT and eventually, as you know, with Governor Walker. Governor Walker deserves credit for agreeing to put $16 million in this. Secretary Gottlieb, certainly, and I spoke to his about his staff earlier. The mayor, who never flinched and just kept moving this forward, the exec, I think the board and the council collaboratively moving this forward are going to play a big role in this. Clearly, the business community has played a significant role in this. Michael Cudahy has never let this drop. And also, we've had significant support from folks that the Greater Milwaukee Committee has been very helpful in speaking to the governor on behalf of moving that $16 million into this. And so Julia Taylor and Ted Kellner, Rich Musin, and a number of other folks, and I don't want to leave anybody out, a lot of people did a lot of heavy lifting on this. And I think it represents the culmination of something that most people thought could not happen for any number of reasons. I think the practical statement that it makes is this sets the footprint for development for the next 25 years in this portion of the city. I think all of us, those of you that are electeds and those of us that are appointed that work every day for the same people, know that the only way for us to reduce taxes in the city and the county and to provide better services is to get more development and to get more tax base. And this plan does exactly that. And I think it is an incredible opportunity, as there's a lot of discussion right now about the role of government and the role of individual governments. I think for the governor and the mayor and the exec, and I include the Milwaukee County Council and the Board of Supervisors in that equation, because we function together, to be in the same place essentially and saying to the average citizen that wonders if government can do anything, this is a very strong statement that this is government at its best. This is all of us working together on a common cause that has incredible benefits for everyone. And even though you may live on the northwest side of Milwaukee, and you could live anywhere in the county, the reason this is important to you as well is for all those reasons. It is about the increased tax base. It is about the absolute total immersion of quality of life in terms of the equation that's going to be successful for all of us in bringing more jobs here and keeping the people that are here already. We talk about what the county has done over the years in promoting the assets at the lakefront. People that don't have means can enjoy these assets as well. And that's what it's about. There may be some criticism on this plan because people, oh, it's about the lakefront and those folks have money. No, this is about everybody. And this impacts everybody in a meaningful way. So I've been certainly, in many respects, blessed to be able to work on this. My colleagues, certainly at the department, and Commissioner Kassan and Jeff Polinsky, have all been very, very excited about our ability to work with our counterparts at Milwaukee County and with WISDOT. And we just look forward to keeping this going and to being the partners that we can be and to make sure that we have successful completion and execution of this plan.
Well, thank you for coming today. And as you know, I've been very anxious to get this rolled out before this committee. This is important public lands as well, and I do appreciate the work that the City of Milwaukee has done in providing both the money and the leadership with regard to it. And I know the committee wants to ask a few questions, so Supervisor Mayo, did you have...
Let me kick it off.
Start off, and then maybe we'll just go around. But
okay.
You didn't tell me there was going to be questions.
Maybe comments.
You had...
Come on, you don't come in front of committees without questions.
Well, one, I thank you for bringing this to our attention. I thank the chairperson for making sure that we understand what's going on. My only comment, if we're going to be a team, let's be a team. Let's make sure that we be a win-win for the whole region of Milwaukee County. Because before in the past, we was not a team, and that's why we couldn't get some things done. This is very exciting. I just was curious, and you know that's how you point out where Milwaukee County land was located. And I'm happy to see that. And that bridge, that's a strange bridge. So how's that going to work with passengers? So it's not going to with the bicycles. They're going to have to walk it across. They can't ride across, right?
Actually, it would be rideable. I think the goal would be to make it wide enough that you could ride, but you'd have to be able to have a dedicated area for the pedestrians, because
right.
you don't want this to be necessarily taken over by bicycles. So there has to be, you got to be able to coexist on there. But it's not going to be a small bridge. I think it needs to be large enough to accommodate the strollers, the walkers, the joggers, and the bicyclists.
And when you talked about the land from Kilbourne and Chicago and open those up. When you come off the expressway, would it just come right into a boulevard, or how would you make that work?
Lincoln Memorial Drive will be more of a challenge, okay, moving through, because you have to go through all of the existing bridge structures. We think, and I know some folks in your public works department as well at the county think there's great opportunities here for using lighting in creative ways, because we have essentially all of this overhead space that we could either suspend some things from or light in a different way, because we also have to be able to create a street that operates as a street, but also that buses have to cross at a right angle during Summerfest loading and offloading. Okay, so I think we are going to go into there's a lot more work to be done with county staff, city staff, and WISDOT in terms of looking at how these designs actually present, and I think we certainly would come back at that point. On the boulevard piece, if you look at the slide, Supervisor, between the two buildings that are here, this would be a tree-lined, we're picturing right now a tree-lined boulevard that would have the ability to also have all new infrastructure. You're going to need new city infrastructure in order to develop anything at the transit center site as well as this county-owned site to the south. And our intention would be, as these streets are constructed, to put in the enough infrastructure to service the needs of these fully built out and to do it now so that we don't have to go back and do it later. This area here is loosely configured as a transit drop-off spot.
So I was going to ask, where is the stage for transit?
Not necessarily for Summerfest, because Summerfest, as you know, creates its own transit stops here during the festival season. But this, we believe, could be a great space for buses to drop off for the museum campus itself, whether it's Discovery World or the War Memorial or the Art Museum Betty Brin, because it's all very accessible. You also have opportunities now with a boulevard here between these two buildings where you can have additional drop-off for transit there as well. The intersection of Clybourne and Lincoln Memorial Drive, as well as the intersection of Michigan and Lincoln Memorial Drive, we're going to work at making those a lot more pedestrian friendly, but we don't intend to carry all the traffic at grade. I think a lot of the traffic comes over at this point, and that's really the significance of this bridge. Now, you know, in terms of budget, you know, we have estimated the cost of this. We have put placeholder items in for the bridges based on our mutual experience with bridges. There's probably $5 to $7 million of potential county infrastructure in here, and I think that's the subject of ongoing negotiations between the administration at the county and Mayor Barrett's administration in terms of how we can come together with a parcel or a package that works for the county and works for the city, and then I'm sure that it would be brought back from by county staff to you, and then I would have to bring it to, along with Jeff Polinski and Ghassan Kerman, to our common council. But for purposes of moving the project forward, the mayor has stepped forward to commit the city to having one agreement so that WISDOT would not balk, if you will, at moving forward, knowing that they will have the infrastructure in place to service the new ramps once those are put in place. So that's what we're agreeing with the state.
All right, let's move on. Supervisor Bowe.
Oh, excuse me.
Right, one more.
Do you have a timetable for this plan, this actual plan?
It's a good point, good question. The my answer is no. The DOT, we will basically be working with WISDOT, so the county, city, and WISDOT will work together to come up with what the timetable is. My understanding from WISDOT is that they will begin work late this fall on the Hone portion, and I suspect that they would probably do the existing portions first, with the work on the ramps coming later, because, as you know, they're going to have a traffic mitigation strategy that they're going to have to implement to make sure that they have minimum amount of disruption while the Hone is under reconstruction and while the Lake Interchange is under reconstruction. A lot of that mitigation strategy will involve city, county streets, or the infrastructure in this area. So it's probably, once again, this is my guesstimate, but I believe it's likely that the WSDOT, major WSDOT pieces will go first, and then we would probably follow subsequently. I'm sure that Jeff Polinsky and Ghassan Kirban from our side will look at how they might want to stage the installation of the city infrastructure. It's possible we could begin on that before actual street reconstruction by just using existing footprint and going in. The timetable for completion, I think WSDOT would be looking at probably late 15, early 16, maybe, for all of this. You know, it's interesting because that's the reaction that most people have, because, you know, a lot of we talk about plans all the time, right? And planning is very important, because you can't have good results without a good plan. But it's rare that you can say a plan of this magnitude that has this much ramification to it is actually going to happen in relatively short period of time.
Supervisor Bowen, do you have any comments?
Nothing formal right now.
Yes, I mean, that's hard for me to believe, too. 15, 16, I mean, we need some more bonding money. The governor has put legislation a lot of money, and which I think is needed to finish the zoo interchange. I mean, that's a major work. You talk about the, you know, the other work we did, and now the zoo interchange. And we're talking about 15, 16 in infrastructure, doing the kinds of things you're talking about to coordinate, you know, American transmission lines and DOT and infrastructure. So you're not coming up and ripping up the same roads 2 years, you know, with each, that's a major work in planning of itself, as you're talking about, I think. My only question would be then, since we're looking so far in the future, but the other stuff we're talking about, the NML and then the Barrett building and the Ergens building, I mean that's all going to happen. I mean, I don't think there's any, if it wouldn't have the suit going on, I mean, the county wanted to do this a long time ago already. So I think that's going to happen. Where the old ramps will be, you know, that kind of building, maybe those are minor concerns, because I think the other stuff is going to happen. It's all going to work together. You open up all those lands to help pay for it, as you talked about. The development there in the third ward and then that new building there, I'm just, you know, all of a sudden we got 1 million square feet, got eight, you know. I guess you build it, they will come kind of philosophy, or, I mean, the marketing, I mean, you know, what could go there? I mean, you know, what can, you know, can this, all of a sudden, Milwaukee support and all the stuff we haven't had before? It's nice to look at, but I wonder, you know, how realistic that is, honestly.
Well, you know, as I've said, I look at that map, and I think 25 years from now, that's done, right? If you went back 20 years to the third ward, okay, what would you have? Think about it. I mean, those of you that remember the third ward from 20 years ago. It's night and day, right? At the Menominee Valley. In 2004, the Menominee Valley, the Milwaukee Road Shop site, we had just completed tearing down the old Milwaukee Road Shop site. Canal Street was not even extended, right, to the stadium. It ended at what we now know as Pottawatomie Circle, which is 25th Street. Now look at the valley today, and that's, what, 8 years. And most people are now, a lot of people, particularly from your West Side districts, are now coming in to the downtown through Canal Street, and because it's turned into a nice commuter route. We got 3 million people a year at the stadium, okay, taking a look at what's going on there. I think that the significance of Northwestern Mutual, which we all love Northwestern Mutual, right? I mean, they're a home company. You know, we love them. God bless them. I have a policy. I've disclosed that. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. But think about it for a minute. Don't think about that they were born here, okay, and they grew here, and that they've been an incredible employer. Think about the fact that they're one of the largest real estate investment trusts in the United States. that they make real estate decisions on a daily basis across all 50 of our United States, and I'm sure beyond that. But certainly within the United States, they are one of the highly regarded real estate investment companies. People look at what they do, what they're buying, what they're selling, where they're going. For them to make a statement that, and they have, as we know, they're not shareholders, they're policyholders, right? The answer to their policyholders, right? But it's the same thing as a shareholder. In this day and age, it's no longer you're playing for the home team and we're doing it because we're the home team, right? They are a company that has a responsibility to their shareholders, their policyholders. They could have built this anywhere. They have chosen to build it in downtown Milwaukee. Think about what a statement that is to the rest of the real estate community in the United States, that Northwestern Mutual is putting up an 840,000 square foot building in Milwaukee, and how much faith they have in the market that they're not even going to multi-tenant this building, that they're going to be sitting on empty space for a while as they grow into it. That's the confidence level they have in the market. So I think that supervisor that helps us project that image forward. I might add that site that has a very large building on it right now in the drawing, if a company were looking for a headquarters site with lake views, oh my God, okay, where does that exist? It doesn't, and it doesn't in downtown Chicago, okay, this close to any central business district. Well, maybe Cleveland, okay, but I mean, and no rub on Cleveland, it's a great city, but it does not have the dynamism that we have. Matter of fact, they've lost 11% of their population in the last census. Chicago's lost 200,000 people in the city in the last census. I think this is a great corporate location site for a headquarters. And certainly not necessarily doesn't have to be from the region. To your point, you know, we want to grow organically, sure, but a real shot in the arm could be continued success of bringing companies in from outside the city. And I think this represents such an opportunity.
Okay. Supervisor Johnson, did you want to make any comments?
Commissioner, it was a well-delivered presentation, and that's all I have to say.
Supervisor Weschel.
No, thank you for coming in today. No.
Supervisor Bowen, you had one follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and definitely great presentation. Excited about this project. What were the different options by the architect on the bridge design?
Right now, we're just showing a bridge that we know has to have certain components. It has to leave this building, go over Lincoln Memorial, and work within that footprint. Beyond that, no design, because I think until the county has decided, has finished its negotiations and decided what it wants on the transit center site, at that point we could have that general discussion about what it would look like, because it certainly is going to have to work hand in glove with this building. Now, I do know that at least on the Barrett proposal, he's indicated publicly that he would view this bridge going through an atrium space in his building and then coming out the other side with the new bridge over to O'Donnell as public space. So I think that's exciting opportunity for the county to pursue, and certainly in terms of speaking to the exact design, we just kind of put a placeholder there.
And I think it's a great opportunity. We talk about the gateway if you're coming from the south off the home, you know, and you're going under that bridge. That is a great, it should have something great about Milwaukee going across it. So looking forward to the outcomes of this. Thank you.
Well, and I do come from this a little bit different point of view, as you know, from our press club. When I took office in 07, the plans were being floated to take down the home bridge to open up the third ward. And, of course, you have to look at things regionally. The South Shore found that entirely unacceptable because they, too, needed a gateway into this lakefront. I think what we've all tried to work with and compromise here, the plan is even better than the idea of taking down the home bridge. And I still say we have got to find a way to put that bike ramp, pedestrian access over the home bridge. I think that is, we often talk about you need one more major attraction at that lakefront, and for me, that's it. When I think of the different events that closed down the home bridge, this summer we're going to do Ride for the Arts again. You're going to have that triathlon event over the home bridge. That's such an attraction. So if we could find a way to do that, and I haven't given up, even though DOT did us no favors. They went from either close a lane or lose a lane of traffic or build a whole new bridge. And I think there are things in between that. So I think we need to keep thinking about that one. But thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it. I know we're going to be talking about this a lot more as we go forward, and especially the pedestrian bridge, the Barrett project. That all has to be, looked at and decided with the county being a partner on that.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, and I appreciate the time that you gave me, and also your leadership on this, Supervisor Jurcik. You've been a leading role in this behind the scenes for a number of years, and it takes a lot of people coming together, and there are a lot of people that worked on this and are going to continue to work on it, and so we're very thankful to be able to at least bring a progress report today as to where we're at.
And thank you for coming. All right, let's move on. We appreciate the time we've spent.